Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church this morning. If you are visiting with us in person, we invite you to fill out the forms that are in the pew and let us get to know you a little better that way. Also, if you're meeting with us online, we invite you to share a message on our Facebook page and let us get to know you in that way. For those of you who do not know me, I'm the Reverend Heather Hicks, and I am the Director of Youth and Family Ministries here at this church. Pastor Mark is in Atlanta, has been in Atlanta for the last several days at a funeral for his cousin. So we want to remember he and Kathy this morning as they are traveling back here today. Also leading with us in worship today is John McElhaney. He'll be our liturgist this morning. Todd and Kim Wise will be sharing special music and running the booth back there for us, so we may have to give them a few minutes in between each one, but we're so thankful that they can wear two hats today. And Lynn Meyer, as always, is playing our organist this morning, and we are grateful for her musical talents. Other announcements that we have this morning, the flowers today are given by Marilyn Linkos in honor of her granddaughter Chloe's 14th birthday. So happy birthday, Chloe. This morning, we will have Sunday school. The children are invited to leave the sanctuary following our, especially for children, part of the worship service. And you can either go upstairs if you are K through fifth grade, or you can go down into the nursery if you have younger children with you today. And you can pick them up there after the service. There will be confirmation class, even though Pastor Mark is gone. He's hoping to be back later today. So those who are involved in confirmation class, please plan to be here at the regularly scheduled time. Presbyterian Nine Patchers are going to meet on Tuesday at noon. And if you'd like to come or have any questions, please contact Karen Hogarth. And her email should be in the bulletin for you. Ladies' Night Out will be Tuesday, April 18th at 6:30 p.m. This is a great time if you have not already had a chance to engage in this meal together. They will be at Wendell's Pub, and if you have any questions, you can contact Diana Westfall. It is a great time to get together and just be ladies. Our Genealogy Club will meet on Thursday, April 10th at 7 p.m. via Zoom. If you are interested, see Bill Hitt, Ken Bonvalet, or Diana Westfall for the link. The 20th. Oh, he misprinted it for me. April 20th, I am sorry. Thank you for that correction, Sue. Summer camp is coming up, and we have camp for kids from 3rd through 12th grade. And we also have some for college-age students. So if you know any children or youth of this age group, please see me. I have all kinds of paperwork that we need to get filled out so that we can take care of that. We also have scholarships available for anyone who would like to participate in these programs. And I'm going to be participating in the junior program, which is 3rd through 5th grade. So any of you who are interested in that, please see me. Our nursery attendant, Lisa Tennant, is back, and as part of our safety protocols, we do need some volunteers, so if you would be willing to volunteer one Sunday, because the Facebook transmit, you can watch the service from downstairs if there's only one or two kids, but we really need some volunteers to help out Lisa in the nursery. If you're interested in helping out with that, please see me also for that. Sherry is not here this morning, but she had a special announcement that she wanted to have made, and I'm going to invite Jean to come up and share that message with us.
Yeah, those of you who showed up this morning because you thought that Sherry was going to speak will be disappointed, but hopefully we've got some exciting information. It's scholarship time. The church every year make scholarships available to students to be members of the church or active non-members. Last year we gave away 5 scholarships of $1,000 apiece. Those amounts vary from year to year. They're made available from the generous donations that members in the past have given to the church, and whatever those earn, we look at that, and then we look at however many applicants there are, and that determines the amount of the scholarships. These are for, they can be used for undergraduate or graduate programs, trade schools, continuing education or certification opportunities, and they're funded, through these gifts. We have applications. They're out on the shelf by Olivia's desk. We also can email those. You can just contact Sherry or me, and we can email those to you. The deadline is June 11th, so there's some time to do that. And then we'll be making a presentation in July of the scholarship. So anybody who's interested, this is a great opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to all who donate and those who organize that. That is a very special ministry that we provide to our young people. Let us begin worship with the prelude.
Please join me in the call to worship. Bless the Lord. How great is God's creation. Bless the Lord, dressed up in sunshine in all heavens, God's tent. Our God has commandeered the winds as messengers and appointed fire and flame as ambassadors. God has sent her foundation so that nothing can shake it ever. God started the spring and rivers, sent them flowing among the hills. All the wild animals now drink their fill. Along the river banks, the birds build nests. Ravens make their voices heard.
God makes
grass for the livestock, hay for the animals that plow the ground. Oh yes, God brings grain from the land so that the people will be well fed and hearty. Let us worship God.
Thank you.
Let us join in the prayer of adoration printed in the bulletin. God of all families in heaven and earth, receive our praise and thanksgiving for the manifestation of your love for us all in Jesus Christ. You do for us immeasurably more than we can ask or think. Your Spirit enriches our lives with a sense of your presence within us, as well as around us, and empowers our common service in the church of your dear Son. In generation after generation, you inspire faith in Christ and regenerate your people. For that you do, we give thanks. For all that you are, we give praise endlessly. Amen. Please be seated. This morning's scripture lesson comes from the 24th chapter of Luke, verses 36 through 48. Please listen for the word of God. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. He said, "Peace be with you." But the whole group was terribly frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why do you doubt who I am? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it is really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts do not have bodies as you see that I do." As he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see, and he showed them his feet. Still they stood there doubting, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me by Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must all come true." Then he opened their minds to understand these scriptures, and he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah must suffer and die and rise again from the dead on the third day. With my authority, take this message of repentance to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who turn to me. You are witnesses of all these things." Thanks be to God.
I'm going to invite our children to come forward now. And while they're coming down, let's not forget the little child in each and every one of us that we invite to be part of service. We're all here to not only hear and be a part of worship, but to participate in worship as well. Good morning. I'm so glad to see both of you. You sound a little sleepy this morning, Austin. Are you sleepy this morning? A little bit. Do you guys like puzzles? Yeah. What size puzzle have you ever done? Do you know? You've done a 1,000-piece puzzle? Oh my gosh. Have you done a 1,000-piece? 100-piece puzzle? Okay, yeah, we like those big puzzles, don't we? I love puzzles. Do you think if we got a puzzle, have you ever gotten a puzzle that didn't have the picture with it? Yeah, you've done it? Yeah? Yeah? When it's a smaller puzzle, it's a little bit easier, isn't it? Yeah. But when it's a great big puzzle, like one of those 1,000-piece puzzles, that might be a little bit more challenging, huh? Yeah. Well, you know, life is kind of like that. When we think about all that God has in store for us, we are always looking to have a vision of where God is taking us. So sometimes when we try to put a puzzle together. It's really, really hard when we try to do it ourselves, isn't it? It's not impossible, but it's really hard, isn't it? Yeah. And it's like life, too. When we try to do things without God's help, it's hard. We can do it, but it's really, really hard to do those things. So we have to be very, very careful that we're always looking to God and seeing what God's vision is for our lives, which may not be our own vision for our lives, but God's vision is so amazing, and God helps us to put all of those amazing puzzle pieces together, just like when we do a real puzzle, we've got that picture, right? So as you go from this place, I'm going to invite you with your parents to be always praying about what it is that God has in store for your life each and every day, okay? All right, let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you that although life can sometimes seem like chaos, like a box full of puzzle pieces with so much potential, we pray, oh God, that you would be with us and help us to put those little pieces together in our lives each and every day. For we know, oh God, that sometimes it's the small things in each and every moment that are so important to the whole. And we just thank you and praise you, oh God, for the vision to do all that you would have us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may go up with your mom now to the heart room.
Greetings from the rumble seats. I always liked that because my dad's favorite antique car was a Model A Ford, and that was my favorite place to ride, was that rumble seat. So this is a wee Scottish ditty that we wrote some new words to a few years back. It's called McPherson's Lament is the name of the tune, and Jamie McPherson was hung in Scotland in the year 1700. And his crimes included, according to the authorities, robbery, being in a market and bearing arms, and being a gypsy. And defiantly, before he was hung, he was known as a fiddler. So the story goes he played a fiddle tune before they hung him, and then he smashed it on the ground so no one else could ever play it. I don't support the destruction of musical instruments myself. Not a guitar smashing guy, that's such a waste. It's a little bit of the original. Say rantanly and say wantonly, say dauntonly gaed he played a tune and he danced a rune below the gallows tree. Do unto others as you would yourself, these words did Jesus say. So we hung him high upon that cross on that Good Friday. Oh, we hung him high upon the cross for all the world to see. But he rose again as he said he would, and he lives to set us free. Free from anger, free from fear, free from bitter gall. Oh, there's freedom in forgiven sin as God forgave us all. Oh, we hung him high upon that cross to all the world to see. But he rose again as he said he would, and he lives to set us free. Love your neighbor, feed the poor, love your enemy. For what you do for the least of these, you do it all for me. Oh, we hung him high upon the cross for all the world to see. But he rose again just as he said he would, and he lives to set us free. Well, it's so hard to turn the other cheek while the first strike still stings. But it's in the voice of love and peace the angel chorus sings. Oh, we hung him high upon the cross for all the world to see. But he rose again he would, and he lives to set us free. In 2,000 years since Jesus came, the world is still unfair. Where love and kindness ease the pain, Jesus Christ is there. Oh, he hung in high upon the cross for all the world to see. But he rose again as he said he would, and he lives to set us free. He lives to set us free. Oh, he died for you and me. But he lives to set us free.
Amen. Give our musicians a chance to get back to their posts this morning. We're so grateful for you guys coming in this morning and doing double duty. Well, this morning, you heard me talk to the kids about vision. And it's interesting because we've had many visions over the centuries of God and God's mission and God's place for us. And I think we've all heard the expression, God's anointed. We've heard that expression before, right? Who does it relate to? Kings, queens, political leaders, right? We've heard that expression used so many times. Even in the Bible, we hear the stories of how kings of the Bible were anointed by prophets and priests to lead Israel. And I have heard even in more modern times the expression, well, he wouldn't be a leader, or she wouldn't be a leader if God didn't ordain it. Have we heard that before? We've heard that before, right? Whether we agree with it or not. But we've heard that expression used. And it was no different in Jesus' time, because before Jesus was crucified, we know that the emperor, Caesar, was considered the divine leader. He wasn't considered just an anointed leader, but he was considered almost a god by the Roman understanding. And the way that they proved that was that they had conquered all of these multiple civilizations and other kingdoms. Perhaps they still allowed the king or the other leader to be the ruler over those people, but they still had to be under Roman control. Not something we like to think about very much, do we? I'm sure even then the Israelites were frustrated with that concept, that idea that Rome was God. But in our scripture for this morning, and even our scripture for last week, is in direct defiance of that idea. You see, for thousands of years, they had accepted that concept that God anointed their rulers, that God was in charge. And we still believe that God is in charge. But these leaders, through conquering another people, were considered to be God's anointed. I think we know a little better today, don't we? But Jesus was dealing with this mindset when he was teaching, when he was casting out demons, when he was healing. All of the things that Jesus did started to cause some trouble, some stir among the Romans, who were thinking, man, if this guy gets any more popular, Caesar might be out. And so what did they do? They crucified him. But God said, that's not the end of the story, right? God had other plans, and God was going to show the world just what he thought of Caesar. by rising Christ from the dead. Now, this was a new concept for everyone, something new. It was a vision they couldn't quite see yet. Of course, Jesus had told them all of these things, we know from reading earlier scriptures. We also know because in this particular passage for this morning, it tells them that Jesus had told them all these things before. They had the vision, they just hadn't quite seen it yet. How many of us are like that? We do what we're expected to do as Christians. We pray, we study the Bible, we come to church, we worship together, we get together as a community of faith. But we haven't quite got the vision yet. Sometimes I feel like that, even as a pastor. We all feel like that from time to time, that we haven't quite got the vision yet. There's a man who, in the last 20 years or so, shared his story on Facebook. Now, this is Arthur Brumas, I believe is his last name. But Arthur was a Gulf War veteran who, upon returning home, he was a paratrooper, so he would fly in and jump out of the plane and with his parachute, and he did this multiple times. And so when he came home, he had a lot of back problems and a lot of knee problems. And he went to his doctors and they said, you know, you're never going to be able to walk unassisted again. And they showed these videos and pictures of him shortly after he got back. And because he was in so much pain and he couldn't do a lot of physical exercise, he started to gain weight. And for 15 years, his doctors told him, you will never walk unassisted again. If multiple doctors are telling you this, and I'm sure many of you have had similar experiences, and the doctors are saying, nope, not going to happen. Never going to happen. We kind of believe it, don't we? We get into a place where we start believing and not envisioning the future that is possible. Now, Arthur got to a point where he was so overweight that it was starting to cause even more problems with his health. Vicious circle, right? Can't exercise, in a lot of pain. So you sit around, gain weight, then you're in even more pain because you've got all this extra weight on you, right? He kept thinking, what am I going to do? I've got to do something, but I just can't imagine what that could be yet. What are the possibilities, he would say to himself. Could I go to the gym? Could I, you know, what kind of weights can I lift? Because my back is out, so I can't really lift a whole lot. What kind of exercises can I possibly do? And he thought, yoga. Lots of people who have trouble with mobility do yoga, right? So he went to multiple yoga instructors. And guess what? They all turned him away. Now, you'd probably be getting really discouraged by this point, right? We see that in the Easter story too, don't we? Jesus dies, the disciples kind of go into hiding and are disappointed and discouraged. But Arthur wasn't ready to give up yet. He finally met PDP, who is a yoga instructor. He's actually a famous exercise therapist. And PDP said, you know what? What can I do to help this man? We've got to do something. So they started with simple exercises and assisted exercises. So he might have a chair for balance or a block if he couldn't quite reach the floor. And in this video, you see him making all of these attempts during his exercise time to just balance, to have some balance in some of these poses that he was supposed to be doing. And he fell numerous times. But he got back up and he kept trying. And he said, you know what? If PDP has faith in me, I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep going at it. A few months later, he stands in front of the mirror with his phone, and his pants are out to here because he has lost some weight. He doesn't quite have the balance or mobility yet. He's still using his crutches, but he's lost the weight, which is what he had started out to do. In 6 months, he had lost 60 pounds. 6 months, just doing what he was asked to do with this yoga. Eventually, we start to see videos of him attempting to walk without cane. And it's very slow at first, slow steps, methodical steps, but he's doing it. He's able to move around a little bit. 10 months later, he's lost 140 pounds, and he can move unassisted without cane. And not only can he move unassisted without cane, he can run. Do you think he could envision that at the beginning of his story? No, not by a long shot. He was so discouraged and down, but he kept trying. He kept looking for that vision. And somewhere along the way, he saw the vision, and he just kept going. And the more he did it, the more confidence he gained. Now, can you imagine the disciples coming from this mindset and then hearing about the resurrection? So they're getting conflicting messages with themselves. Okay, is this real? What do we do if it is real? What do we do if we do see Jesus? What do we do with this Roman authority that's come in? And Jesus appears to them and tells them that not only does he want them to go out and to bring people in to know God, but he opens their mind to God's vision. Their minds are opened to what the scriptures said about Jesus. Now, remember, they may not have gotten it back when Jesus was telling them this before Jesus' resurrection, but now they have a vision. They have an idea of where they are going. I think after COVID, or even during COVID, we had no idea where we were going. Today, sometimes we're still not quite sure. But we have gained a vision. I feel like COVID-19 has given us tools and resources that we didn't even know were available to us before. And now we're reaching so many more people. We have people who are going on vacation and able to watch our services. We have people who are getting together online for Zoom to talk about genealogy and family history. We have teams that are able to meet. If they can't meet here at church, they can meet online. We're able to offer so many more programs and things to our children who are here. Now, we still have a long way to go. We still have a lot of challenges ahead of us. But we can see the vision. Many of our committees and teams are already meeting to discuss what that vision for our future is. But we've got it. It's right there on the precipice of our confidence. We just have to, as I told the children this morning, be willing to let God show us that vision. Not try to do it for all for ourselves, but to allow God to open our hearts and our minds to this amazing vision that God has planned for each and every one of us individually and for all of us together as a community of faith. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you that sometimes we don't have all the answers, so that we have to turn and look to you. We thank you, O God, for opening our hearts and our minds to understand your scripture so that we might fully understand Jesus' part in our lives. Bless us as we go into the world and into our community that we might more fully express and witness our love for you in this place. All this we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Please rise. And let us join in the Declaration of Faith as printed in the bulletin. In life and death we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and loving God, we pray for healing where healing touches are needed, whether it be in physical body, in mind, or spirit, whether it be in a relationship or community. We pray for the loss that we feel at the death of loved ones. We pray for the confusion that we feel around those who are suffering from addiction. Almighty and loving God, each and every ailment you know about. You know about our sufferings. You know about our joys. You know about all of the things that are happening to us and for us. We pray, O God, that you would open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to our neighbors, our friends, colleagues, companions in life. No two of us are exactly the same. You have created us to be the beautiful individuals that we are. Because of that, there can sometimes be conflict. But we pray, O God, that you would continue to be with us. Help us to solve problems in such a way that all are looked after and cared for. Help us to have compassion for not only ourselves, but for those who are around us. Bless us as we seek to continue in serving you in this place. All these things we do and ask in Jesus' most precious and holy name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Seeing as we're still coming out of COVID restrictions and requirements here in our church, I pulled Gene too early. But I want to remind us, as we're about to collect our offerings and give of our financial resources, about that scholarship and how special it is to those who receive it and to those who give for it. So please keep that in mind as you give this morning. Going to offer a prayer since we've already said the prayer this morning. Let us go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, for your many gifts and blessings, we give you thanks. May we be a part of that grand tradition of giving that you have shown to us in these offerings. May they go to bless all of those ministries in which they are intended to bless. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
And now may the God of vision give us that vision as we go forth this day. Amen.